Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, Dr. Zinn, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. The battle for America is on. The day of decision is coming. California burning, that's a metaphor, I think, of what's coming for America if we continue to give unreasonable and wicked men and women power to take away our liberties. House myopia continues. Perhaps take a brief look at what's going on around Pelosi's Schiff while they busy themselves with this phony impeachment coup attempt. And what is the Lighthouse doing about all of this? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
10 major fires have broken out in California in the last few weeks. I have friends north and south of us that are suffering because of the blackouts and evacuations. Here in Santa Maria, we've been insulated so far. Much of the threat of fire for us was burned away. You know, the fuel load, I think they call it, was burnt up a while back in the Santa Barbara fires. But my friends, California is burning, and it breaks my heart, and it's burning in more ways than one. To appreciate the reality of this, you know, 88 have died in the latest spate of fires. 203 are missing. Nearly 19,000 structures have been destroyed, and most of those are homes. When I was in South Carolina 2 weeks ago, the news there was covering our fires, and while in Mississippi last week, a great deal of attention on every news channel was dedicated to the California fires. So while we have the nation's attention, it's not about climate change. That's just the latest of many lies Democrats use to cover their own failed policies. Look, I live in this beautiful state. I was born here, grew up here my whole life, with the exception of a few years that we lived in Georgia and then in Florida. I can tell you what's going on that has created the California inferno. You know, that word inferno comes from Dante's Divine Comedy. He used it to speak of hell, and it's often used now to speak of a large fire that is out of control. I'm taking this from Bossy's article. Quote, the facts are clear. California's deadliest year of wildfires has been decades in the making, with overlapping environmental rules, both state and federal, making fuel load reductions in forests and coastal chaparral nearly impossible, while hostility towards commercial timber harvesting has allowed a massive buildup in tree density and brush with a concurrent reduction of access roads and fire breaks. All the politicians are crying climate change, but they're a pack of liars. California has always been subject to extended periods of drought. I mean, my whole life in this state, I can tell you, it's a regular thing here. Most of our moisture comes from November through March, and by the time summer rolls in, it's very dry. Add to that the hot winds and that they call them the Santa Anas that blow through, and you have all the ingredients you need for massive fires, you know, except the spark. Neglecting prudent foresting policy is ultimately the reason we're suffering from these horrible fires. Now, think about this. Even if climate change is creating drier than usual conditions, shouldn't we then be more careful about thinning our forests and using controlled burns to reduce the amount of fuel that wildfires depend on to rage? Isn't that just common sense? But what do the Dems do? Well, they want to make sure some squirrel doesn't have to, you know, pack its bags and move and relocate somewhere. These stupid policies end up creating fire hazards. In 2006, the Western Governors Association warned, quote, in the long term, leaving forests overgrown makes them prone to unnaturally destructive wildfires, end quote. Assistant Chief Mike Marucci of CAL FIRE pointed out that the tinderbox conditions in California are directly the result of not conducting prescribed burns. That's a control burn where they get rid of the dry underbrush and so on. After the earlier fires devastated us, and after decades of these ridiculous policies, just before Governor Brown left office, he signed a couple of bills that prove this has been the problem. In 2018, Brown signed SB 1260 and SB 901. These bills make it easier for the state and for private property owners to use controlled burns to reduce what is called fuel load, the fuel load on these properties. And that's the amount of dry vegetation and so on that wildfires depend on to ravage the countryside. Look, do you see the sense of what I'm saying? Of course you do. You listen to the Brain Massage Show. Even if we grant climate change is creating a more dry environment, that only means we need to be more aggressive about managing our forests and fuel load on private property. But California liberal policies have been blocking these prudent measures. Liberalism is literally killing us. It's burning us up. So that's the metaphor. Liberal policies always exacerbate problems they're trying to address and then create new ones on top of those. And all of this genders destruction of our beautiful state. A la feces-covered streets in San Francisco and Los Angeles. You know, to round out the metaphor. The Democrats are destroying our state. And America, you need to pay attention. Don't follow us into this abyss. The policies here and the behaviors are a wildfire raging across America. Let's make it simple. Democrats resisted the idea of acknowledging God in their 2012 convention. Remember that? And decided to go with the Antichrist spirit, full-fledged. And recently, they passed a resolution welcoming atheism and lauding it and chastising Christianity. They have pursued one policy after another that specifically targets Christians. I mean, basically, you might as well say Christians are persona non grata in the Democrat Party. You heard Beto say he will move to remove tax-exempt status from churches that refuse to bow to the LGBTQ movement. And they're openly saying Christians are going to have to change their views. Remember Hillary? Christians are just going to have to change their views on things like homosexuality and gender and all that. And these folks are not content with our tolerance of those bizarre lifestyle choices, but they want to force us to affirm them. I mean, they're refusing to allow Christian parents, for example, to pull their children from classes taught in public schools promoting the LGBTQ agenda. This is the fruit of a tree that got planted in our society some decades ago, and we need to uproot it. The roots of this perversion run very deep into our culture now. This weed will not easily yield. We have got some serious soil work to do. Jesus used the soil as a metaphor for the hearts of men. Now, the Democrats are calling for socialism openly. Bernie's an avowed communist. The effort to impeach Trump is farcical. And every single thing they are attempting to pin on Trump, Biden and Obama have already done. In fact, I'm convinced this whole thing is an effort to cover up what they've been doing. David Limbaugh wrote a great book a while back documenting the rise of persecution against Christians in America. And by the way, his latest book is a must read, Guilty by Reason of Insanity, Why the Democrats Must Not Win. What is this fire that is raging across America? Well, it's simple, really. God warned us that the nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. Can we be delivered from this? Well, hold on through the break. And you know what? I'm looking at my material for the next segment. I know it's going to go long. So I'm just going to roll on into the second segment without a break. Today, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach. I pastor Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. I'm your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Let's continue. The battle for America is on and the day of decision is coming. But what do I mean by this? As you probably know, if you listen to this show, America was founded upon the Bible by Christians whose primary concern was religious liberty, specifically the freedom of conscience and soul liberty. Now, if you would like to see hard documentation supporting that statement, then get The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States, written by Benjamin F. Morris, and there you'll have in one place more than 1,000 pages of proof. The core biblical principle that serves as the foundation of our republic was elegantly phrased in our Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Our founders were Christian in their character, in their sentiments, and in their expressions. George Washington said, quote, "The blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, but especially so in times of public distress and danger. The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country," end quote. Samuel Adams said, quote, "I conceive we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world," and he wished that the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established, and the people willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace, end quote. It was recognized by virtually everyone that America was one nation under God, and that Jesus was her only rightful king, and we enjoyed heaven's favored nation status. It's true, we have not always lived up to the honor of that status, but to what measure we have, God has honored the United States, and this nation under God has prospered like no other nation the world has ever known, and it has been a beacon of liberty for the oppressed peoples of the earth. My friend, it is not an accident that during the term of a president recently who affirms God and conducts his administration guided by biblical principles, that we are prospering once again, with unemployment almost gone, and our defenses, well, they've never been stronger. But the Democrats want to end all of that. How has so much evil gained so much strength in our country? Well, things began to change when America began to buy into the lies about our founders and our founding. Lies that attempted to separate our country from its moorings. Lies that undermined the foundation upon which our liberties were set in our founding fathers. Certain deceivers came along who said our founders were not truly Christian in their beliefs, claiming they only expressed themselves in that way because, well, that was the prevailing paradigm of their time. Well, that's an understatement. In fact, 98% of the American population identified as Christian and attended a Christian church regularly. Ironically, the lie that our founders expressed themselves as Christians only because everyone around them were actually admits the more fundamental truth about America's founding. Indeed, it was founded upon Christian principles and beliefs because this idea admits that the prevailing sentiment of the day was Christian. Nevertheless, the lie took hold in some circles. But those circles were virtually all anti-Christ to begin with, and frankly, most Americans ignored them. Until today, we cannot ignore them anymore. You see, there was another lie, and it served more than any other to bring America to the brink of breaking fully away from God. And what lie was this? The lie that Satan owns the world, and that Christians have no business participating in it, or as they say, meddling in the affairs of state. It began, it seemed, harmlessly. You can't legislate morality. Remember that one? I've been trying to tell my fellow Christians that all laws arise from the context of someone's morality. In fact, laws literally define the morality of the people. I've been crying in the wilderness on that one, and almost no one listened, it seemed. Then it was, you can't push your morality on everyone else. You have no right to force your religion onto others, and so on. Now, it is precisely because we would agree with that sentiment that the lie hidden in it took hold and made Christians feel they had no right to expect the laws of their homeland would reflect their morality. After all, the whole point of our founding was to afford freedom of conscience to all mankind, liberty and justice for all, no matter what was their chosen beliefs or religious persuasion. We passionately hold to that belief. The debacle of a recent Trump court pick being harassed about whether he would treat all people fairly in his court and justly. If you are a Christian today, it's assumed you're a bigot and that you won't treat people fairly or honestly. When the exact opposite is what is true. Because we're Christian, we are compelled to acknowledge the dignity and honor of all mankind made in the image of God, right? All men created equal. That's our thing, man. It is Christians who formed a government on that principle. This love of freedom of the conscience and belief that every man has the right to believe according to the dictates of his own conscience, coupled with the lie that the world belonged to Satan and that Christians had no business imposing their beliefs in the public square, has led to disastrous results. Not that we would give up our belief in the freedom of conscience, but we've got to learn the truth about whose world is this. For many years, Satan has had Christians hoodwinked into believing they were not supposed to speak up on social or political issues, especially pastors. We bought the lie that we had no say, that the world belonged to Satan, and that we had no right to impose our morality on others. Well, I'm here to tell you that the greatest opposition I have received to my radio, my podcast, has been from Christians who are deluded by these false ideas. If pastors are not supposed to speak to political issues, are you kidding me? Have you never read the Bible? Jesus spoke to the issue of paying taxes. He called a political ruler a fox, and he flabbergasted Pilate when he refused to answer the charges laid against him, saying, in effect, you have no power over me but what my Father has allowed. I've dealt with this thoroughly in many things that I've written, in sermons I've preached. And for many years, I've battled this heretical spirit that attempts to close the mouths of preachers of God's truth from speaking his truth against Satan's lies in the public square. Well, anyway, the ruse has worked. It's worked so well that today, guess what? Now the anti-religious, or should I say the anti-Christian left, impose their morality on all of us. I should say their immorality on all of us. That's right. They are not content with us simply giving in to their demands that we shut up. Now they are turning on us and imposing their immorality on us. It's exactly what I've been saying for almost 5 decades. All legislation is premised upon someone's idea of morality. Whose will it be? They believe it's immoral to express an opinion contrary to what is politically correct. So they want to pass laws against it, criminalizing our beliefs and what we say. Christians are being systematically pushed to the sidelines of public life. It's to the point that now our inalienable rights are being denied to us. You know, hopefully, Christians are waking up to the realization that America, of all places, is becoming a hostile place for Christians, hostile against their beliefs. They're being called bigots and racists and scorned as deplorables, you know, by the left, simply because we disagree with their ungodly, perverse lifestyle choices and disagree with their policies. We, that is Christians, are being told we cannot serve in public office because our allegiance is not to the state but to Christ. Well, their allegiance is to Lucifer and not to our liberties. How's that? It's ironic that the people who came here for religious liberty and founded a nation upon the biblical principles of liberty and justice for all are now being told their beliefs are unwelcome. They will have to give up their Christian beliefs, that liberty and justice is not for them. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The whole nation's going to lose liberty and justice. Now, how did this happen? What can be done about it? I identified the root lie. Satan has deceived Christians into thinking the world belongs to him, that we have no place in this world, that while we cannot impose our morality on them, they are free to impose their immorality on us. And surprise, surprise, it turns out they are completely wrong. They're completely backwards. The world does not belong to Satan. The dominion, which is the right to rule the earth and its resources, belongs to Christ. Jesus is the ordaining authority over all earthly power. He said so himself. When he rose again, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And that word translated power is exousia in Greek, which means authority or right to rule. It's the same word translated power in Romans 13:1, where it refers to government authority, government power in the earth today. Look, the truth is, Christ's disciples not only have as much right as anyone else to hold power in this earth, but in fact, Christians should rule the world. The world would be much better off if they did. I know that's shocking to many to hear. It is the exact opposite of what almost everyone else is saying today, including Christians. But it has not always been that way. George Washington, John Adams, Samuel Adams, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, virtually all of our founders affirmed this truth. In fact, John Jay, founding father and first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, said, "Whether our religion permits Christians to vote for infidel rulers is a question which merits more consideration than it seems yet to have generally received," end quote. Which I love the way these guys talked. As to his own opinion on that matter, he said, quote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers," end quote. Now, John Jay is right. Another nation under God who was given the freedom to choose their leaders was Israel. In the days leading up to Israel's fall into oppression and tyranny, God said through the prophet Hosea, "They have set up kings, but not by me," Hosea 8:4. Israel lost her liberty and came under the oppression of tyranny because she chose the wrong leaders. From liberty to tyranny, that's always the progression in a nation that forgets God. Embracing God as the God of the land, the nation is blessed and enjoys liberty and with it great prosperity. Forgetting God and turning their backs on him, the nation degenerates into tyranny and oppression, and from that necessarily always comes impoverishment for the people, while the tyrants, the rulers, live like kings. The Bible says the nation whose God is the Lord will be blessed, but every nation that forgets God will be turned to hell. And that means turned over to the power of hell, to the power of the tyrant of the universe, Satan. Never has the choice set before America been so stark, so dramatically clear. One side wants to pull America fully out from under God and deliver this nation into the hands of Alinsky's hero, Lucifer. The other side is pulling back against them and trying to pull this nation back under the protection of divine providence to restore this nation as one nation under God. The side that wants to pull America out from under God is called the Democratic Party. And those who are resisting this are, for the most part, in the Republican Party or independents. That's simply the way it's played out, my friends. The Republicans have consistently been the party of the Constitution, the home of patriotic conservatives who want to conserve our heritage, the party that stood against slavery, by the way, when the Democrats supported and endorsed it. the party against big government and tax and spend policies, while the Democrats are about consolidation of power into their hands. And as Reagan once quipped, he would accuse the Democrats of spending like drunken sailors, except that would insult the sailors since the sailors were at least spending their own money. Anyway, it was natural that the Republican Party, the party of Reagan, would end up being a refuge for those against tyrannical government. The Democrats came under the power of the communists pretending to be socialists long ago, and that cancer has corrupted its soul. The Democratic Party today stands for every anti-Christian position being advanced by the devil in our culture today. Murder the babies right up to full term. Promote the life-destroying practice of sodomy, or homosexuality as you like to call it, or the LGBT thing, and allow sodomites to recruit our children into their unhealthy and unnatural behavior or lifestyle. I mean, nature itself abhors this practice, with AIDS and a great many other fatal diseases. So in 2020, America will decide between moving America back toward God and our founding principles, or finally and fully separating our nation from its founding, and so be let go into the hands of Satan. What is the Lighthouse doing about it? Well, many things have been done and are being done, this show for one, but we are launching an assault on the gates of hell at Lighthouse. And one of the ways you can participate is to join us on Wednesday nights from 7 to 7:45 p.m. for a series on spiritual warfare that will begin with 30 days of praise through November, and then a series of dynamic messages on prayer and fasting, where we'll be using my book, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting. For those who enroll, you can get a coupon code that will allow you to purchase that book for only $2.75, which is a deep discount from like $7.95 or so. I've seen it $13 on Amazon. If you live locally, and that's within a 20-mile radius of the church, well, you choose local pickup for your shipping option, and you can avoid shipping costs altogether. And listen, we'll bring the book to you from our church. We'll have somebody come by and drop it off or hand it to you. Or you can stop by the church bookstore and pick it up from there. It sells for up to $13 on Amazon. Like I said, you get it for $2.75 if you enroll for this course online. And you go to our website, santamarialighthouse.org. Go to the registration menu button, click on that, search down to Spiritual Warfare 101, and you'll be able to enroll. I call this a dynamic series, and what that means is it's more than just a series of lessons on the subject. We're going to be putting it into practice during the meetings, in many cases, and working together throughout this series, putting into practice what we'll be learning. We're going to target specific strongholds and together assault them with the weapons of our warfare. You'll understand all of this if you join our effort. Now, after we finish prayer and fasting, we will be ready to fully engage in God's war. We will learn how to use our weapons to secure victories in the spiritual realm that will manifest as victories in the physical. We cannot win the battle for America on the day of decision, which is 2020 Election Day, unless we understand how to do spiritual warfare. My thesis is very simple. Jesus Christ is the King of the earth, and all mankind are his subjects. Jesus is the ordaining power over every governing body in the earth. Now, that means every power on earth. To be more plain, every government operating in the earth, every ruler, every police officer for that matter, every government official, and as well every person living on the planet, is subject to the crown of Christ. Now, books are being kept, and every evil deed these men and women do is being recorded. God will render justice upon all. Now, have you not read that Jesus spoiled all principality and power? That means something, doesn't it? Have you not read that he purchased the entire world so that the earth is his, you see, by right of original creation? That is, the planet on which the world operates belongs to God. And the world itself is his by right of purchase. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, right? He bought the field by his death on the cross. He said the field was the world, and he purchased it. He arose from the grave, declaring himself to be the Son of God with power. Have you not read that Jesus cast Satan out of the world? Before Christ did this, Satan is called Prince of the World. But Jesus cast him out, and now he is the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, or the other side. Jesus is the only rightful ruler of the earth. He gave the keys of the kingdom authority, to the church, and he sent his disciples into the world to declare his terms for surrender. And he promised that whatever nation brings forth the fruit of the kingdom will receive it. They will be given the dominion, the right and power to rule the earth under him. Now, that's how America became one nation under God. However, as Jesus taught us, Satan has not yielded and will not yield. He was commanded to get behind Christ. He refused. And he refuses to yield the kingdom to Christ today. He refuses to bow the knee. And as Christ predicted when he went to heaven, his citizens, and that's the people of the world that he conquered, would join Satan and turn on him and cry out, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Luke 21:12-27, that's what's going on right now. So the spirit of Jesus Christ operates in and through his disciples, and the spirit of Antichrist, which is against Christ and Christians, operates in and through Satan's disciples. The spirit of Jesus Christ is the spirit of liberty. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of tyranny. It really is as simple as that. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what the Bible says. So where the spirit of Antichrist is, well, there's tyranny. The spirit of Antichrist has prevailed in America simply because Christians have not unleashed the power of the spirit of Jesus Christ in them and through them to hold him back. So that's what we've got to do. Now look, I know there are some objections that come up against my thesis, and I'm going to answer every one of them in the introductory message, December 4th. For example, why did Jesus say, "My kingdom is not of this world"? All right. Why did he say, concerning his disciples, "They are not of the world"? And what does that mean? Does that mean we have no business saying anything about what goes on in the world? Well, the answer to that is no. I'll explain all that and many more objections that come up. You remember that Satan used the Bible against Jesus, and he will try to use the Bible against your understanding of these things too. He wants to keep you blind to the truth that he has been defeated. All we need to do is rise up and exercise ourselves in the power we have as kings and priests unto God, and we can win. I've got about a minute, more than I thought I'd have. Let me use it to encourage you to get my newest book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Now, this is a first-class publication, my friends. You will be proud to present this as a gift to any God-fearing patriot on your Christmas list. It's hardback. It includes 30 or more full-color illustrations. It provides a very thorough index, one for scriptures, another for topics. The binding is high-end. It's printed by Color House Graphics in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and if you're acquainted with that printer, you know that we're talking about a top-notch, high-quality product. The cover is beautiful and dramatic, but of course, it's the content that counts, and this book has content. Let me tell you, I launched the distribution of the book in South Carolina at the annual Intercessor Conference. The hardback was not ready, so we had 200 paperback versions printed for that meeting. After I preached a message offering an overview of the content of the book, we nearly sold out the 200 copies I brought in about 1 hour. If you want a biblical perspective on what's going on in America right now, and you want insight into what you can do, I mean really do, to make a real difference on Decision Day 2020 in our battle for America, I beg you, get this book. Read it prayerfully. And get in the fight. We're taking pre-orders right now. The book will ship in mid-November. But if you make your purchase now, you get a 25% discount from the sale price. It's God's war. And we are embroiled in that war today in a very important battle. It's the Battle for America 2020. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. Set lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree, or leave me a message. Go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and he doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.